Yesterday we discussed the sugya of whether or not the bishul basar v'chalav, how expansive that is, and whether or not that could apply also to things that are not through the classic method of bishul, but let's say you would do it through. Let's say you would do it through tigun, or let's say you do it through tzli, which is not the classic bishul. So we pointed out that would be a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. How to understand why the Gemara knew that it was referring to chalav and not chalev, and that was because only with chalav, Rashi says, is there going to be bishul because you have a liquid medium, whereas Tosfos says it's an entirely different pshat. But it's rather two things that are totally mutter and not usser prior, and therefore it must be talking about chalav, which on its own is mutter, and now is only becoming usser when it's mixed and cooked with the basar as well. Okay, so that was the presentation. So this is a real fundamental shaila of whether or not the isser applies to the isser hanah, which we know, and we said, only applies in situations where there is an isser bishul, and if it's not cooked, then there's not going to be an isser hanah that's linked to it. They're dependent on each other. And halacha lemaisa, this is a discussion amongst the poskim that the poskim bring up. The Pischei Tshuva in Sifkat and Gimel quotes a machlekes achronim. I sent the picture of the Shulchan Aruch in the WhatsApp group. The Pischei Tshuva writes on the Ramaschal Derech Bishul, Ein Berhitav Ein Pri Chodesh Degam Tigun Bechlal Bishul. So clearly the Pri Chodesh took the approach of Tosfos and said that Bishul is Lavdafka over here, but any heating transference of Tam has the ability to fulfill what is meant by the Torah of Derech Bishul Asra Torah. Acha Min Chas Yaakov Umarim Shif Besof HaSefer Achulin Tzidul LaHakel Tetigun lo have bechal bishul ve'eno aser ba'ana ubehefsid meruba yesh lahakel primegadim. So fascinating. There's a fascinating debate that is really comes down the machlekes achronim. Primegadim is willing to be makel b'makom hefsid. That really lies on our machlekes rishonim, Rashi and Tosos, how to read our Gemara. What about the case that we said yesterday? What about you have a burger that's steaming hot, and you put it on a plate, and you slab a slab of cheese on top of it, and you have a classic cheeseburger? Would that be basar v'chalav d'oraisa? Would that be asar ba'ana? So it's fascinating. Does anyone know, by the way, whether or not that's going to be asar on Shabbos? Has anyone here ever heard of the chumrah of the Marshal called Dover Gush? There is a chumrah of the Marshal that if you have a hot, solid item, and you take a raw item on Shabbos and you put it near it, even if it's in a klisheni, a klishlishi, it's sitting onto another plate, that would be something that is a potential isser bishul on Shabbos. It's for that reason that I always tell people that if they're going to mix any raw food on Shabbos with any hot, solid dish on their plate, that could be a potential violation of Bishul on Shabbos through this issue of a Dover Gush, a solid piece of, a hot piece of whatever you're talking about, chicken, meat, whatever it is, could heat up anything that is raw, and that's even in a Kli Shlishi, even in a Kli Revi, because it's not really dependent on the vessel like a liquid item is, and that's a Dover Gush could retain its heat even in a vessel that's very pushed far away from the original fire. So that would be relevant over here as well. If you take a piece of cheese and you put it on top of a burger, so I would have thought, just like the Marshal says, when it comes to Bishul on Shabbos, that we should be stringent, that the things that are plate, not to put raw items near those hot, solid pieces of hot Dover Gush, the same would be true when it comes to Basar V'Chalav as well. This is fascinating, because if none other than the Maharshal in the Yam Shel Shlomo is the one who is makel on this situation. If you look at the Reb Kiva Eger, right under the Shulchan Aruch that I took a picture of and I sent to you, he says, "I'm a prechadish dekam etzli v'ira v'tzonel tocham ahavid araisa." Whether you're pouring hot water onto it or you are roasting, that's all included in Bishul, like we just said. The opinion of the prechadish. Va'ayin biyam shel shlomo beperek gidan oshe dekas of the baser cham shenaga legvina chama ikalemaymer the aser rak midra bonon. The Yam Shel Shlomo, the Marshal himself, he is maker when it comes to basar v'chalav. If you take a piece of cheese and you put it on top of that hot burger, that it's not going to be aser midra raisa. And if it's not aser midra raisa, Rabosai, guess what? What's that going to mean? If it's not aser midra raisa, it's going to be mutter beha. No. If it's only aser midra rabbanon, so
included meat is up.
What?
Sorry, my headphones drown out if somebody else is talking when I start talking, so I couldn't tell. Does that include if the meat is on the grill and you're literally placing like cheese on top?
No. That would be tzli. That the prechadish would say is usher, and that would, we have a machlok zepos kaman, and I would tell you to be machmir about. But if you're off the fire and your only heat is only through the hot burger that's retaining its heat from that original fire, sounds like that would be mutter ba'ana, at least according to the Yam Shel Shlomo, which I find to be so ironic, because the Yam Shel Shlomo is the Marshal. And the Marshal is the one who says us, when it comes to Shabbos, that we have to be concerned about cooking up other items when it comes to a Dover Gush. For some reason, Basar V'Cholov is not treated in the same way. So that's just in terms of how to paskin the Shilas of Tigun, Tzli, and other forms of Bishul that we spoke about yesterday, that we suggested that was a machlokas Rashi and Tosos, and ultimately comes out like this, the way the post can bring it down, la'alacha. Obviously, a person should, unless they're instructed otherwise, Prima Gadda maybe says Behefse Merubah, even Behefse Merubah, I saw that some poskim are not willing to go with the root of the Prima Gadim because you're dealing with a real Shaila Mida Araisa of being Nene from Basar V'Cholov, even if it's not with the classic mode of Bishul, if it's with Tigun or with Tzli.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
What's the difference between Tigun and Tzli?
Tigun is with some sort of oil, and Tzli is roasting on a fire like a barbecue. Okay, Tigun is first of all with a pot, and there is original oil that it has some moisture, but it's not sitting in deep oil, and it's not enough to be considered bishul. But it's not like it's not roasting on a fire like a barbecue. Yeah, David. Yosef, you still have a question?
Yeah, didn't we say by not bar not that even if you put it in a pan with oil that's tzli?
That would be similar to tzli, yeah, because there the options are whether or not it's considered bishul or not. So if it's not bishul, so then it's probably going to be more similar to tzli and take on the chumers of tzli. We said that by tzli, there were some that were machmir about it, and I would assume that if you didn't have a lot of water, so then you're not in the category of bishul, that those rishonim would be makel, right? So you will have certain categories that tigun is going to be more similar to tzli, when you need it to be considered bishul to have a significant amount of liquid to be sitting in order to be considered bishul. Yeah.
Is tigun oser like kedei nitila or kedei klipa?
Is what?
Is tigun like oser kedei klipa or kedei nitila, or it's something else?
I mean, Tigun could aser kedei kula, I think. If it's mamish on the fire, they're sitting together. The question is just whether or not this is a violation of bishul basar v'cholov, whether or not there's a bli of treif, the fact that you can't eat it, it might be aser to eat it, but I didn't necessarily violate the iser and the transgression of bishul because of Tigun.
Thank you.
Oh, you're asking. I understand what you're asking, David. You're asking, just like we find that by tzli, if you have cham keneged cham, that it only asks kedei netila. So would you say the same by tigun? You're saying you're frying two things. Oh, so take back what I just said. I understand.
Like adds out of
right. In terms of ablia, so would tigun be like the amount of ablia of tzli? I don't know. I gotta think about that. Probably. I would imagine it's not going to be kadei kulo like bishul, because there's no liquid medium that's putting everything together. It's a good question. Yeah. Moshe.
Is the davar gush thing only by food?
I think so. Well, what would be the other option?
No, I don't know. And it's regardless of heat, or has to be a certain heat the food?
No, everything's got to be yatsa lettuce bowl. If it's not yatsa lettuce bowl, then it doesn't have the capacity to do anything. The chiddush is that even though it's in a kli shlishi, or it's so far removed from the original fire, the fact that it's a solid item, it could retain its heat, and that could affect things on Shabbos. But the Maharshal himself says that wouldn't be the case for Bishul Basar V'chol of Deraisa to be Asur Bana.
Right.
Rabosai, I want to ask, though, a few questions. Let's assume for a second that you take the Machmir approach. You take Tosus's approach. And you say that there's tzli when it comes to basar v'chalav, right? So then, if I roasted something when it comes to basar v'chalav, so then if I'm mevashel it afterwards, would I be over in Issa d'Oraisa? What do you think? I have basar v'chalav that was roasted together, and now I'm going to cook it. Did I violate an Issa d'Oraisa? Or can I apply another principle that we have when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos? That what? Ein bishul achar bishul. Ein bishul achar bishul. Once something is heated up, so then by doing it again, repeating the same thing, you wouldn't cook it.
It's not bishul. Isn't it a mevanav shach?
What do you mean? Like, what do you mean?
If tzli is not bishul and you're not over d'oraita, so then
no. Again, I was assuming. I said assuming tzli you're over in issa d'oraita, right? I think Malik's 100% correct. Difference? Let's say if you hold that tzli was not included in bishul basar v'chalav, so then avada, I think everyone would agree that if I now cook it, so now I'm introducing. It's like taking something that wasn't usser and now making it usser for the first time. That everyone would agree that would be the Issa d'Oraisa of Bishul Basar V'chalav. But let's say I hold it is included
in. Oh, it's like to be Chayav Shtayim?
Yeah. So would I be, or would I violate an Issa d'Oraisa? Yeah. On the second Bishul. So I think one would say no.
Why would you?
Right. Why would you? It's already Basar V'chalav. So why would you transgress it again? But
is that then in Shabbos or it's in Kohar?
Excellent. So let's look back at this Reb Kiva Eger. So Reb Kiva Eger says, "I'm pre chadash the gam betzliva ira v'tzayin l'tocham havi d'araisa. The kasa of the baser cham shenagav l'gvina cham eikel meimer da'aser rakim d'rabbanon. The kasa of v'shpagos sharidur shabesof v'sefer dechaticha shenech b'shav v'cholav aser levashla da'adkan havi iser kavish midrabbanon va'ata over al iser bishol d'araisa." So Reb Kiva Eger doesn't talk about my case. Reb Kiva Eger talks about a case of if it was cooked, then if I cook it again, then it's not going to be the Isser of Bishul Basar V'chalav. What happens if it was soaked? You have flanken flakes, Rabosai, remember that? You have flanken flakes, you have milk, that basar that was soaking in milk, and then I would cook it on the fire, Rabosai. Then Rav Kiva Eger says, you're taking something which is not basar v'chalav d'oraisa, because it's only kavush. And now you're cooking it, that would be basar v'chalav d'oraisa. So the assumption is that, exactly like you guys all said, was that if it's not basar v'chalav, if it was basar v'chalav through tzli, so then it would be exactly like Rav Kiva Eger just said, then it would be just repeating the same process that you're not going to violate the Isser of Basar V'Chalav again, like Moshe said and like Malik said. But is that really true? What's the halacha Yosef asked when it comes to Shabbos? I mentioned this yesterday. If you have something that was roasted or something that was baked, and you go through a different method and a different procedure of now putting it into a liquid medium, and you cook it, an item that was hot through a different method, let's say a baked item or a roasted item, and now I cook that. What?
Lokadarko on Shabbos is mutter.
That's not Lokadarko. I'm doing it Kadarko. I'm not doing it with a Shinoi. I'm doing it in a normal way. What?
If they're both just normal versions of Bishul, there's no Bishul.
But it's not a normal version of Bishul. That's exactly my question. It's not a normal version of Bishul. This is Bishul Achar Tzli. Or Bishul Achar Afia. And we paskin, it's a machlokas Rishonim, but we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, that you have to be careful to analyze how your original food was heated up on Shabbos to know whether or not this method that you're doing, is that a new method? That now that's going to potentially create an Issa D'Oraisa because you're doing this method for the first time, even though this item might have been heated up in some other method prior to that. Let's take a Bishul Achar Afia. You take challah and you put it into the chicken soup on the fire. Yesh Bishul Achar Afia, we're machmir for that. So wouldn't you say, l'chora, that the same would be true when it comes to Basar V'Chalav? The method is a different method. So now, the fact that it was roasted, okay, I had Basar V'Chalav there, but now I'm cooking it in a different way. So l'chora, we should carry over and we should say that you should be chayev, just like you're chayev in Shabbos, because there's yesh bishul achar afia, so too there should be yesh bishul achar tzli, or yesh bishul achar tigun, as long as these are distinct methods that would be obligating you in the world of Hilchos Shabbos. Yeah, David.
Don't we have the Tosfot though from Hanukkah?
David.
Just practically, if I did Basar V'Chalav through tzli, and then I did it through bishul, wouldn't I be creating more blios of Basar V'Chalav?
Let's say you would take the same exact items.
I'm saying I'm taking those exact same items, because they only got however many amount of, like, however much blios was transferred through the tzli. But then I took those two items that got whatever that was, and then I did put it in bishul, it would be more Basar V'Chalav, no?
Is that true? I don't know.
If we say...
Let's take, you have a slab of cheese and you have a burger that's fully Basar V'Chalav. It was roasted on the fire, and it totally was mefafeh kedekulo, and it was roasted in, and it's all over. So now that's fully Basar V'Chalav. Now I just take that and I cook it up in water. So is that going to be yesh bishul achar afia? Yesh bishul achar tzli.
Also, even if you're doing bishul achar bishul, there's more blias. I don't think, why would that even matter?
Is that true?
Even if you're doing bishul achar bishul, there's going to be more blias.
Rabosai, what do you... So you're saying that bishul achar bishul, when it comes to Basar V'Chalav, should be usher? Against Rabbi Yeager.
But Rav...
Where Rabbi Yeager gets it from is from the Or HaChaim, no?
Rabbi Yeager gets it from where?
He says from Asher, from that he says from by Kavush it's usher.
Right.
It's not from that it's...
If it was Dor, right? If it was Bishul, so that it would be Mutter, right?
Yeah, but does that why, from the fact he chose Kavush,
right?
Doesn't that show that if it was, I feel like
anything but Kavush, it would be Mutter. Anything that was really considered heated, it would be Mutter. Yeah, that's what I would say.
Fine.
So, Rabosai, I want to talk about this issue and see whether or not our assumption that even by Bishul and what Rabbi Kivager is assuming, what are you even talking about? Let's say you have a case where you cooked it and you recooked it. Is that pasha that it would be mutter when it comes to Basar V'Chalav or not? So in order
Don't we have the Tosfot from Chanan?
What's the Tosfot from Chanan?
In order to have Basar V'Chalav, you need to have mutter and mutter going in.
Right.
So Bishul after Bishul Basar V'Chalav, that Tosos
is just saying that in order for you to have Chanan, you can only apply it to an iser that were two things that were mutter and they were coming together and they were becoming usser. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the definition of all cases of usser v'cholov.
Isn't there a Ramban like that, though, that Rabbi Yeager spoke about?
That what?
Usser v'cholov has to be, they both have to be like being pulled into each other. So if they're already pulled into each other, how are you doing it again?
In the city of Kal, I think we mentioned it like that.
Mm-hmm.
That why the Shulchan Aruch only chose putting it twice.
Right. You're saying if it's already there, I hear. According to the Ramban, I hear. Right. But wasn't that Ramban also Agdar and Hanan? I think that Ramban was also Agdar and Hanan. Was that saying that you can't have Basar V'Cholov if it's already Aser? Mitam Basar V'Cholov?
Or I think we had, I think it was in the city of
Kal, I think.
In Kal, yeah, you're right. Kal by Kalim. Kal, which is Hanan by Kalim. That's where the Ramban said it.
Didn't we also have it by, I thought we brought it up also by Nat Barnat.
Yeah, we brought it up by Nat Barnat, I think.
What? That, how did it come up by Nat Barnat?
Back and forth.
I don't remember. It could be. But let's see what I think that those Rishonim, Lechora, were just Hagdaras in Hanan, but not necessarily telling us when the Isser Basar V'Cholov would apply. That you don't necessarily have it if it was once Basar V'Cholov that it can't be considered cooking Basar V'Cholov once again. Because these, you have to remember, these ingredients independently were once mutter, and the fact is if we recook it again, so maybe we could violate Basar V'Cholov, Bishul Basar V'Cholov once again. So let's see the Gemara. We have to read a fascinating Gemara that really that relates to this Shiloh. It really relates to another categorization of this Isser of Basar V'Cholov and Bishul Basar V'Cholov when it comes to the Gemara in Chulin and Daf Kuf Chesem and Beis. The Gemara in Chulin Kuf Chesem and Beis says as follows: Gufa, Chatzi Zayis Basar v'Chatzi Zayis Cholov. You have a half an olive of meat and a half of olive of milk. Guys, take a step back for a second. How much basar and how much chalav do you need in order to violate an iser? In general, for isurim, we need what? The Torah usually speaks about what for nevelos and all macholos asuras? Kezayis. So now, I have an interesting anomaly over here. I don't have something that's really usur because of itself. I have something that's usur with basar and chalav. So I need a kezayis of both? Or is it enough if both of them together become a kezayis? So that's the Gemara in Chulin and Daf Kuf Chesem Beis. Gufa. Chatzi zayis basar v'chatzi zayis chalav. Shebishlon zemze. You cook the half a zayis of basar and a half a zayis of chalav. Amar Rav. Rav said, loika al achiloso ve'eno loka al bishulo. You get malchus on eating it, but you don't get malchus on cooking it. Everyone okay with that?
Can't you say that it's...
No, it's the same mister.
Can't you say it's malchus? Yeah.
Give me a lumdisha term that you should ask when you read this Gemara, what do you say?
Manavshach.
Manavshach. Thank you, Malik. There's my lamdin. Manavshach. Guess who says that language, Rabbi Isai? It wasn't made in Lakewood. It's a Gemara in Chulin Adav Kuf Chesem and Beis. The next time you hear some yeshivish guy say Manavshach, you tell him, yeah, Chulin Kuf Ches. Okay? Frak the Gemara. Manavshach. Make up your mind. If you need a kezayis from both for the Yisr of Basar V'Cholov, so then you shouldn't get malchus on what? On eating it. And if you hold what? That I don't need a kezayis. So then let me get malchus also on what? On cooking. That's the Gemara's kasha. Manavshach. Imitztarfin. Abishol nami lilki. Eloi mitztarfin. If they're not mitztarf with each other. A'achila nami loy lilki. So then you shouldn't get malchus at all. Says the Gemara, La'olam loy mitzdarfi. No, you're right. They're not mitzdarf. And we're talking about a case, ubeba miyarek daila. We're talking about a case that it came from what? Literally translated as what? It came from a bigger pot. V'levi omer af loik al bishulo. V'chein tove tani levi mastisin k'shem shaloik al chiloso. Kach loik al bishulo. What just happened in this Gemara, Rabbi Isai? The Gemara asks Akasha. What did the Gemara ask? Monavshach. The Gemara says if you need two kezesim, so then you should need two kezesim for everything. Because if you don't have bishul, then you don't have achila. Right? So the Gemara says, according to Rav, at least within Rav's approach, no, it's talking about a case where it was coming from a big pot. It's coming from a big pot. So what does Rashi say? Look at Rashi. And Rav was talking about two different cases. If a guy ate a chatzi zayis of basar and a chatzi zayis of cholov, that was cooking in a pot, what? Shenis bashal bashir mizeu mizeh v'nesro. Since there was an original cooking in that bigger pot of each having a kezayis, now if I take a piece of both and I sandwich them, that's going to be a reason why I'm going to get malchus on the achila. Why? Because there was enough of a shear of bishul of having a kezayis of basar, a kezayis of cholov, that now any part that you're going to eat is now going to get malchus. But if what? The ain lok al bishulam dim bishul, but if you only cooked, like this case, originally, a chatzi zayis of basar, a chatzi zayis of cholov, zem zeh, ain mitzdarfin. So therefore, you would not get malchus on the bishul. That's what Rav's statement was, that you don't get malchus on the bishul, and you get malchus on the achila. Two different cases. One was talking about where there was a bishul on two kezesim, a big pot, and one was talking about where there was only a bishul on Chatzi zayis v'chatzi zayis. Rav holds le'alocha that in order to violate basar v'cholov, you can't just have a kezayis in total. You need a zayis of basar and a zayis of cholov because each one independently is the shem macholos asuris and they need to come together to create that isra. A fascinating shita, Rabbi Isai. We don't paskin like Rav. We hold that any basar with any cholov now is going to, even if it's a chatzi zayis, and chatzi zayis is not literal, like we know from chatzi shir, that any form of a kezayis of basar v'cholov at the end of the day is going to be a violation, and that's like, well, the opinion of Levi. Levi omer af lo gal bishulo, it's not true. Levi says you get malchus even if you cook originally what? Chatzi and chatzi, even if you don't have a kezayis of each of them. That's not the way we understand fundamental. Rabosai, according to Rashi, Rav and Levi are having a fundamental machloikas about how to understand the isser of basar v'cholov. According to Rav, it has to be a macholos asuros of a kezayis of basar and a kezayis of cholov, and they come together, and when they're cooked, now this becomes macholos asuros. You eat any amount, that's going to be treif. But if you're missing the shear of kezayis from each one of those osrim, you're missing the essential yesodos of the iser. And Levi says, absolutely not. Levi says, it's macholos asuris at the end of the day. The result is basar v'cholov, and I don't care how you got to that kezayis. You have a taruvis, a mixture of basar v'cholov in there, a chatzi zayis, and a chatzi zayis. That's enough to violate the iser of bisrael, and therefore you would violate that iser. Then the Gemara, give me 1 second, Jacob. Then the Gemara concludes, says Rashi, with an entirely independent statement. Ube'eze bishul omro? And when do you violate bishul? What is bishul? Bebishul sha'achirim ochlenoso machmas bishula. What is considered bishul that you would violate? Ends the Gemara with a new statement, an independent statement. Says Rashi, bishul that achirim would eat it. What is that? Achirim? Ovde kochavim. Kilomar shenis bashel kol tzorko. It depends. What is the definition of bishul when it comes to basar v'chalav that you violate? It depends if it's completely cooked. That now a guy would buy such a cheeseburger that this is something that tastes good that is completely cooked. Okay? That is the setup of the Gemara from Rashi's vantage point, from Rashi's perspective. You have a fundamental machlokes Rav and Levi, a gemon of shach of the Gemara. Rav answered the Gemara up. Levi said, you misunderstood the Gemara completely. Then the Gemara makes an independent statement of how much bishul creates bishul for basar v'chalav. Mavushal kol tzarko if it's completely cooked. Yeah, Jacob, you had a question. I'll get to you, Judah and Moshe, in a second.
Yeah, Rabbi, of course to Levi, it would be Isser Bahana, of course. But according to Rav, would we entertain the possibility that we would be able to? Seemingly Rashi right here says that if it's okay that non-Jews eat it, it would be considered bishul, and of course it would be usher. But according to Rav, what would he say?
If what? What's the case? Chatzi and chatzi?
Would you be mutter b'hana to sell
by chatzi and chatzi?
Yeah.
No, yeah, totally. It's mutter b'achila. According to Rav.
No, I thought it was mutter bishul, like mutter for cooking it, but not mutter b'achila.
It's mutter b'achila midoraisa also. There's no iser bishul midoraisa. If it's chatzi and chatzi.
According to Rashi, who says that what's considered bishul is if it's
coming from an original pot.
Yeah, I'm saying.
If it came from a yorig dol, then it would be aser b'anah, just like it's aser b'achila. Yeah, for sure.
But even the chatzilas mutter? Like, it's not like a potel of aser?
No, it would be aser midrabbanan. Yeah, we'll have to get to the iser midrabbanan. We're not talking midrabbanan. We're talking about the iser d'oraisa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jake, Judah.
I'm curious, would this machlokas being different if it was a kezayis of basar and chetzi kezayis of chalav?
I don't think so. I mean, I think Rav would still be mekel. I think so.
No.
Yeah. Moshe.
On the last line of the Gemara that says that it has to be bishul that in el veich chav muri, is that just the standard one-third like we say by Shabbos, or is that...
Excellent. That's exactly where I wanted you to go.
Oh, okay.
So, what do you think, Moshe? When you read Rashi, does it sound like that?
Ma'al ben Dursai.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Let me read you Rashi again, Edmund.
I would say not.
It doesn't sound like that, but I don't know why it wouldn't be.
Excellent. But what does it sound like, David?
Sounds like you could be over if you were to do cook basar b'chalav on Shabbos and only get the Ma'al ben Dursai. You'd be chayv for Shabbos, but not be chayv for basar b'chalav.
Why? Because Rashi says what?
Kol tzarko.
That is goof for the next stage. Rabosai, on Shabbos, right, there's a major machlokes. I don't wanna get too off topic, but you gotta know this stuff.
He was a robber.
Yeah, so there's a major machlokes Rishonim between the Rashba and the Rambam. I actually put it in the WhatsApp group. I took a picture of the Bir Halacha. It's a machlokes between the Rashba and the Rambam. When do you violate bishul on Shabbos? So the Rashba is of the opinion, exactly like Moshe is saying, that if you cook up to Michael ben Drusai, let's call that a third cooked right now. It's a Machlok is Rashi in the Rambam, whether or not Michael ben Drusai is a third or a half cooked, not relevant for us. Another time, Moshe is not here, so we can't go on tangents. But you have something partially cooked, that's called Michael ben Drusai, that's the robber. He had to go, he was abandoned, he was on the run, and according to the Rashba, you cook something up to there, you're violate bishul. From Michael ben Drusai, says the Rashba, up until Mavushal Kol Tzarko, you're okay. It's already cooked. That's where I would apply the din of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul when it comes to Shabbos. It's already cooked. What are you doing? The Rambam disagrees. That's the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam says that if you cook something from Michael ben Drusai to Mavushal Kol Tzarko, so that would be also an Issur D'oraisa. But the Rambam agrees that if I cook something from raw to Michael ben Drusai, that I violated what? An Isser Bishul on Shabbos. I was Mavashal something. The Rambam is just telling me, don't think that just because your item before Shabbos is a third cook, that you should say like the Rashba, that now you're off the hook and there's no Isser D'oraisa. Any improvement to this piece of meat is also considered Bishul on Shabbos. So if that's the case, if everyone is in agreement that if I would cook something from raw to be fully cooked, that that's going to be bishul. So let that be the same thing when it comes to basar v'chalav also. Why does Rashi say mavushal kol tzarko? A pellet.
Bishul asr Torah. Machal ben Jushai is not
there. Derech bishul asr Torah, and I was mavashal on Shabbos, and I violated an isser.
It wouldn't be bishul on Shabbos.
But it's Machal ben Jushai is a hagdar on Shabbos, right? So you can.
No, Machal ben Jushai is a bandit.
I mean, it's edible. Machal ben Jushai makes something edible.
So, like, but it's a shame bishul. But it's a shame bishul. Oh, you're right. Chazal made a chiddush to me. Chazal said if something is basically edible, that's considered bishul. You're right. I wouldn't necessarily have voted like Chazal. I maybe would have said not like that. But once Chazal tell me that it's a shame bishul, and I'm chayiv for that in Shabbos, so then that should be l'chora the case when it comes to other areas of halacha where I need bishul also. Rabbi Sai, I sent to you the Ritva. The Ritva says something remarkable over here. What does he say? Zok the Heilige Ritva on our daf, Chulin Kovches. Shacherim Ochlin also, Zok the Ritva, Perish Rashi, Ochlin also, Shanisbashel Kol Tzarko. Umistabra de chol tzarcho hainu kemaychol ben drusoy. Who's the Ritva taking on? David Rubin. Okay? He's lavdafking Rashi. Why? Shederech umasa'olam lechol kem. What do you mean with the Yisr Taira? Rabbi say, but I'm with David over here. The pashtus in Rashi is that Rashi knew that it was mavushal kol tzarko. What was bothering the Ritva, Rabbi Yisai? The exact question that I just asked you. If it's bishul, it's got to be bishul. So don't give me new hagdaras and bishul over here. So if we know Mayachu ben Drusoy is a bishul, why would we change it over here in the Gemara? So Rabbi Yisai, that's question number two for us to analyze over here. Where suddenly did we leave the world of bishul and now make new hagdaras that only if it's a burger that I say to the waiter, this is good. Anything I'm going to send back to the kitchen and I'm going to say that this is raw, that this is not so geschmack, this is only a third cooked. You know, I'm one of those hotshots that say, you know those guys that come to the restaurant and they get their free meal by sending all their meals back. Yeah, I knew that shtick, everybody said. You guys aren't the ones that invented that. So you have it's not considered mavushal over here, and you send it back to the kitchen. So why? But why isn't the Ritva right? L'chayr, the Ritva is right. We should lav dafka Rashi. How do we get this new stage that you have to wait till it's completely cooked? Yeah, David.
And this is just a guess, but could it be the fact that, like, Avraham ben Drusai is talking about, like, you're cooking two things that are already, like, their own foods, and you're creating an Isser Shabbos, whereas, like, the idea of having two heads of things coming together to create an Isser.
Good. That's where I'm getting to. That's where I want to get to. If I want to formulate it, excellent. Yeah, Adman.
Why does Rashi have to point out Akum, and, like, why does Akum matter?
I think Akum are usually the people that are eating Basar V'Cholov.
Right, but if it's not cooked, what if it's, like, I mean, it doesn't necessarily, like, if it doesn't, why is he saying that the shear is what an overcooked
homework? Meaning it's got to be well done. It's got to be like, this is not Shvach HaMaisis. It's got to be like the Burger King. It's got to be like the Burger King. Yeah, Moshe.
So are we saying that the machlokas between Rashi and the Ritva, or sorry, Ritva's understanding of Rashi and our understanding of Rashi, is just whether or not Ben Drusai is a definition of Bishul or a definition of the Esaron Shabbos? Okay.
Yeah.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
According to the Shita that holds that it needs to be, it could be any shear for Basar V'Cholov, is that also, what if it's Batu B'Shishim?
No, Avadina, right. Avad, it has to be not Batu B'Shishim, right. Everyone agrees that once it's Batu B'Shishim, that you're not dealing with Basar V'Cholov anymore. Okay? Rabbi Isai, yeah. What's even more fascinating about this Gemara is that we just introduced Rashi's approach to this Gemara. The Rabbeinu Gershon, on the side of this Gemara, has an entirely different interpretation of this Gemara. And it really introduces something that we were just talking about that come up in the poskim. Listen to the Rabbeinu Gershon's read in the Gemara. We have a Machlekes Rav and Levi, and the Gemara asks Akasha in Rav Mamonavshach. So what does the Gemara say? Let's see the Rabbeinu Gershon on side. Rav Amar Leika Alachilaso. Kolomer Da'ochel Kishir Beim Basar Beim Echola Ve'eno Loka Al Bishulo. Kolomer Da'lo Bashel Elechatzi Shir. You didn't cook a Kazayis of each, so you're not Chayev. So the Gemara says Mamonavshach. So the Gemara says Lo'ilom Lo'im Itztarfi. Rabbeinu Gershon says, you're right. B'cholov mevushal, v'loka chatzi zayas me'oso basar, v'chatzi zayas me'oso cholov, v'chazar ubishlon pam achas, ubishulo loloki, why? Tikvar mevushal. Says the Rabbeinu Gershon, not that it was talking about bibami yarigdaila. It's coming from an original pnat that it actually now had a shear of kezias of each, but rather the reason why you're not loke on the bishul is for an entirely different reason, Rabosai. What's the reason? Since it's coming from a pot, you're not loke on the bishul and you're only loke on the achila. Totally different pshat. Because what? Because it was cooked. And the halacha is, ein bishul achar bishul. It came from a pot. And anything that came from a pot that was cooked together, now if you're going to cook it again, you're not violating bishul. Just like we have a concept of ein bishul achar bishul, when it comes to Shabbos, if you're re-cooking something that was cooked, you're not going to be chayev. So, sir, that's the pshat in the brisa over here, that you're not going to be chayev for what you cooked. That's the reason. Bibami yarigdaila. And it's already cooked. And that's why you get malchus on the achila. Because this is a unique halacha that pertains to bishul, that you can't re-cook. But do I get malchus for the achila? Of course, because it was once cooked. That's what Rabbeinu Gershon says. Achila loki, the achil kazayis iser. Be'ez Bishul Amro Kol Shachirim Olchlenoso, says Rabbeinu Gershon. And on that, Levi commented that what? Kolomer Dimitzchila Lo Nispashel Kol Tzarko Ubohu V'Natal Chayitzi Zayis Mizeh V'Chatzi Zayis Mizeh U'Bishlo Kol Tzarko. Comes along the Rabbeinu Gershon, and Levi that says you're like it on the Bishul is talking about a situation where what? Where it was only partially cooked, and now I continued the cooking process to this busar v'cholov, and now I'm evading mavushal kol tzarko. Says the Rabbeinu Gershon, that's what Levi meant, that you would be like it on. And according to Rabbeinu Gershon, that statement of the Gemara of Ezu Bishul Shechayev is not a random statement. It was a continuation of the Gemara proceeding that was all predicated off of something that was cooked. That Rav said, you're not going to be chayev since it came from original pot, and ein bishul achar bishul applies to it. On that, Levi says, no, you are like al bishulo. When you're now going to increase the bishul from a partial bishul to be considered a complete bishul. Wow. First of all, Rabbi Yisai, according to Rabbeinu Gershon's pshat, we have a v'feir shegemara that applies the din of ein bishul achar bishul to basar v'cholof. But then how does he learn Levi? Within Levi, he says, you're also going to be chayev for bishul from when? From partially cooked to mevushal kol tzarko. So now I ask you, Rabbi Yisai.
Because it wasn't cooked fully.
So what would the Rashba think about this, Rabbeinu Gershon? I just told you that cooking something from Michael ben Drusoy to Mevushal Kol Tzarko, unless you subscribe to the Rambam, According to the other Rishonim in Ilchos Shabbos, if I take something that's partially cooked, that's a third cooked, and I cook it up, what's the halacha, Rabosai? According to the Rashba, I'm putter. Only according to the Rambam, I'm chayev. So is this Rabbeinu Gershon taking sides in that machlekes between the Rashba and the Rambam? That it must be that from Michael ben Drusai to Mavushal Kol Tzarko, that there is a Shem Bishul, like the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Shabbos?
Not necessarily in Shabbos.
Oh. So the question is, Rabbi Yisai, and I think this can potentially answer all of our kashas in one fell swoop. Rabbi Yisai, it's getting late. Let's say the Hagdara. I think the following. Some Sefer has this Lashon, and I think with this Yisod we can answer a lot of the different kashas that we mentioned. David already touched on it, but it could be when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, the Torah is assering malachos. The Torah is assering an activity. So you need a Maisa Bishul, and there are certain Hagdaras to the Maisa Bishul. When it comes to Basar V'Cholov, yeah, the Torah says, Derech Bishul Asr Torah. But what does that mean? It means we want that there should be a creation and a result of these two entities of milk and meat to come together and form together with Hashem Bishul to now be a Cheftza of Basar V'Cholov that is created. The Bishul is not the action, but rather the creation of an entity that now is misarev and mixes together and transfers tam of milchiks and fleshiks together, of milk and meat together, to create a cheftza of basar v'cholov. Im kein marev v'raboisai, we can answer all of our kashas. It could be that technically Michael ben Drusoi might be enough and sufficient for a person to violate a Maisa Bishul. And in Hilchos Shabbos, you're going to be up the creek. You violated an action of Bishul. But is that necessarily the standard for something to be created? It could be for the creation of Basar V'Cholov, I might need to reach a higher standard that it's fully forming together to be Mavushal Kol Tzarko. B'makum Sha'acherim Sha'akum Ochlim Oso. And that's the pshat in Rashi. It could be that even if I hold that in general for Shabbos, that the criteria of a Maisa Bishul might be up until Malachal Ben Drusai, but like I could still hold like the Rabbeinu Gershon. But here where it's now forming together and it's coming together to now create more of a Basar V'Cholov scenario, I would be chayav, and it's not necessarily totally on the Hagdaras for Hilchos Shabbos. The kasha that I asked originally, Rabbi Yisai. Why is it that when it comes to Shabbos, if I had a different method, I first did Sli, or I first did Afia, and I take that baked item, and I put it into a pot of soup, and I'm now Mevashel on it, we Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, that would be an Isser D'Oraisa. So now is the same thing going to parallel itself, and now you're going to say that should now be usher to cook an item that was roasted when it comes to Basar V'Cholov? Maybe not. Maybe when something was roasted well and there was enough of a taruvis that was created from that heat source of tzli, if I hold like the postkim that we suggested, that roasting creates bishul for Basar V'Cholov, then I don't care about the action and the method. The creation, the cheftza of Basar V'Cholov, was already there. And the heat already transferred the taste from both of these items. So it's this yisoid that could answer all of these kashas. Number one, what we asked, why would we ignore Michael ben Drusoi like the Ritva suggested? Shouldn't that be the Hagdara of Bishul and Kol HaTorah Kula? And just like it's the case when it comes to Shabbos, we're suggesting not. There's a different Yetzirah that we're involved with over here. There's a different Isser that we're involved with over here. It's not the maisa bishul, it's not the action, it's not the transgression, but it's the creation, derech bishul osra Torah. That the Torah was makbid on something that now is going to now take these two entities and forge them together. And that will now have svaras, l'kula, and l'chumra. Maybe it's going to now be a standard of a much higher level of bishul, like Rashi told us. Maybe it's going to be, even if Shabbos, I hold that once you're at Michael Ben Drusoy, like the Rashba says, you're not going to be chayav, that's ain bishul achar bishul, but it's improving when it comes to the creation of Basar V'Cholov, like the Rabbeinu Gershon is telling us. And maybe also, even though in Shabbos, if I'm doing a different method, and my action is different because I'm going and switching from Afia to Bishul or from Tzli to Bishul, that would be an Issa D'Oraisa, that might not be the case when it comes to Basar V'Cholov, because by Basar V'Cholov, the heat already transferred it, and it was already a creation of Basar V'Cholov. So Rabbi said, we just learned a Yesod, that although the Torah might have assered Bishul both by Shabbos and Basar V'Cholov, but we see from the Rishonim and the analysis in the Gemaras that they might not follow the same criteria. And what's even more gishmak is that we found a Rishon that said beferish that ein bishul achar bishul would apply to Basar V'Cholov itself. The question is, Rashi, who didn't interpret the Gemara like Rabbeinu Gershon, could one suggest that Rashi is of the opinion? This is going to be wild. That maybe Bishul Achar Bishul does apply to Basar V'Cholov? And he wasn't in agreement with Rabbeinu Gershon's approach to the Gemara, and he couldn't learn the case like that because he held Bishul Achar Bishul does apply to Basar V'Cholov? That would be fascinating. Rabbi Yisai, I want to leave you off, and I'm not going to go into it because we're out of time. But if you look at the Ramah, in Sif Vav, it's a Ramah that you've seen, but it's a fascinating Ramah. You look at the Shach there, and the Prima Gadim, and Reb Kiva Eger, you're going to see things that are going to be very relevant with these two approaches of whether or not Bishul Achar Bishul applies to Basar V'Cholov. But the Yisod that we finish off with tonight, Rabbi Yisai, is that the definition of Bishul for Hilchos Shabbos and the standards of Bishul for Hilchos Shabbos might not be the standards and the definition when it comes to Basar V'Cholov, and there's going to be implications, Mikan U'Mikan, like we pointed out. And we finished in terms of the Tigun and the Tzli about all those Shilas that would come up in other ways that you could have Basar V'Cholov, as the Rishonim discussed yesterday and the Poskim discussed yesterday. Tomorrow, I'd like to continue with just this Ramah and the Shach to just show where in the Poskim this issue of Basar V'Cholov came up directly, and a fascinating case in the Ramah. Mirtz Hashem will talk about it tomorrow, and then hopefully we'll talk about another aspect of Bishul Basar V'Cholov. What happens, Rabosai, if you want to cook, but you have no plan of eating this Basar V'Cholov in the future? Mirtz Hashem will look into that, and hopefully we'll move on to the next sugya. We'll finish with Bishul Basar V'Cholov, and we'll move on to other elements of Hana. I want to do Hana, Rabosai. I want to do waiting. I want to do Isser. I want to do Maris Ayin. I want to try to accomplish as much as we can in the little time that we have. Yeah, David.
We say that the reason why we say acherim is because we want to distance it from Achal Ben Drusai to make that distinction.
Yeah, meaning Rashi saying Mavoshal Kol Tzarko.
Meaning, like when we say acherim, right? Because I'm saying when we say.